This week on Inside the Pocket, we're talking about what we've been up to this week. We also got a recap of Week 9 NFL. We also got a little bit of blues news, our wow stories of the week, what we would do if we were president, some conspiracy theories, and some awesome shower thoughts, all followed by a beer review. Let's go.
Welcome to Inside the Pocket. It is Austin with you as always, and with me, who is here as always, is Gavin.
What up?
We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to jump right into what we did this week, and myself, I had a pretty phenomenal week. Monday, I was in a bowling competition for Hooters.
Nice.
Now, there were six teams. My team ended up only placing in third, but for me, for the first time being in a bowling competition, I was doing decent. There were a couple guys on my team that were really fucking good. I thought I was good at bowling. I was seeing some people that were really fucking good at bowling. Like, were literally in leagues for, like, real money. Like, big cash prizes.
I'm glad I didn't end up going because I'm fucking terrible at bowling. I've always been terrible at bowling. And now, when I was 19, I cut off three of my fingers on my right hand. I can't even, like, use the holes because my middle finger doesn't bend anymore and it'll just snap it off. And I also got a bolt in that wrist, so it's just awkward to roll it. So I usually just, I've only done it one time because I hate bowling.
Well, you actually came with me one time bowling after you did your
hand. Me and Dylan went.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And I had to throw left-handed.
Wasn't Josh there, too?
Possibly.
I think he was.
Yeah. But
shout out Josh.
Yeah, I'm not good.
No, no, you're not. You were fucking god awful.
Yep.
But aside from that, you were still a good time to be around with. But yeah, I had the bowling thing on, then skipped the rest of the week because my life sucks and I did nothing else. But Saturday, I had the Blues game. I'm not going to get too much into it because we're going to talk about that on the NHL part. But really fun. It was the Halloween game, so a bunch of people were there in costumes.
It was spooky.
It was super spooky. Me and my girlfriend went as Spider-Man. We both had Spider-Man costumes, and for the very first time, I made it onto the Jumbotron.
Nice.
So
congrats.
That was kind of cool.
You're like, look at this bitch.
Yeah, and I got pictures taken there, and we took pictures ourselves, and yada, yada, yada. But right after the Blues game, leaving the Enterprise Center, I had to drive all the way down to the pageant. Well, I didn't drive. A very nice man named Chris, shout out Chris, drove us to the pageant. We got to the pageant and watched the Ludo concert, which was originally sold out. But my girlfriend, being her and knows how to get tickets, bought us tickets to go to the show. And
she fucked a dude for those tickets.
I don't even care.
You're cool with it?
Yeah, such a good concert. Good. It was fucking banger. It was top notch. It was the giggity. It was everything I ever wanted and more. It was such a good show. They came out, they were funny. They fucking blasted the goddamn music. They played every song of mine that I loved. And it was just great to see them since they haven't performed in 7 years.
So if you want to check out a Ludo concert, too fucking bad, because they're probably not going to do another one for a while.
They're done. Yep. So they kind of said it was kind of a farewell concert.
Yeah, just like, okay, guys, we're doing this because we want some money and people are bugging us and we're done.
Yeah, so we went to it. It was a wonderful
Which
time.
If I were in that position and it was that popular, maybe I'd do some more stuff. But
I mean, maybe
they're all just busy and they're doing stuff they like to do more than their music shit. But I mean, if you sell out two shows within 10 minutes...
Yeah,
I would think make some money.
Yeah, maybe we just keep going back to St. Louis. Yeah. Let's just do shows in St. Louis.
Yeah, just every 3 months we're going to do a concert.
Yeah, probably like that. They might start writing new music if they started doing that. Who knows? We might bring them back together.
Yeah,
who fucking
just
knows?
A local band. Like, if you were that big, you know, they're from here, so they probably have a bigger fan presence here than anywhere else. It'd almost be like not necessarily a cover band how they do stuff, but maybe just be like every month, like one time a month or every other month, be like, we're going to be at this venue playing. And then literally six times a month, they can make a few thousand dollars.
Right.
Yeah. For like 2 or 3 hours work.
Yeah, no, I think that's a wonderful plan. Yeah. And they're a great band to see. I would highly suggest for anyone to go see a Ludo concert.
It
was awesome. Yeah, if you get the chance. And I will say, the ending was awesome because they did a cover of the Ghostbusters theme song. That was the very last song they played as an encore. They came out making you think, oh, they're going to play another one of their songs. But no, it was the Ghostbusters theme song. And they had people run out on the stage, like dressed as the Ghostbusters and the Marshmallow Puff Man. And they had kids on the stage throwing candy at the crowd. There was one kid pegging fucking kids. He came out, he had like
just Randy Johnson.
He had things of like Jolly Ranchers, and he was just full forcing them right into the front of the crowd, like just hitting people, berating people. It's like throwing quarters at strippers, is what it looked like. He was fucking pegging motherfuckers.
Dude, that would be so funny to go to a strip joint and instead of throwing dollars, take like rolls of pennies and just fucking
that would hurt like a motherfucker.
Well, I've been slacking this week. I've been pretty busy going in and out of town and stuff like that. So my pick'ems have been a little late on Facebook. If you're not following on Facebook, follow us on Facebook. We do the pick'ems. You guys are getting a free win every week as it is, but I'm going back out of town. I won't be able to do anything else. I'll be sitting in a hotel with my boring dad while he watches American Pickers. So I'll probably get all the other templates done for the rest of the year so they won't be late anymore and you guys can shut the fuck up.
Yeah, Jesus fucking Christ.
And this is the first week you and I, our picks actually match up. Doing pretty good this week.
Yeah, we are. Right now, I think we're...
We got seven wins so far.
8-2 with the Colts game.
Yeah, so...
Looking how it's looking.
So we're probably going to dummy everybody else because ours is pretty good.
Yeah, we're fucking shitting on you kids.
Like I said, back in Iowa this week, that place fucking sucks. So all I'll really have to do is work on some of my other Photoshop edits that I haven't done in a while. And then work on some podcast shit. One thing I wanted to say is we should have an interview possibly next week. Might be the week after, but we are going to be interviewing a local up-and-coming hip-hop artist, Larry Smiley Boy Hall. The dude is super talented. Dude's fucking awesome. He got shouted out by the UFC welterweight champion because he wrote a song called Beat Your Ass.
Right.
Really fucking liked it. Tyron Woodley.
Ooh.
And if he likes it, it's probably pretty good.
Yeah, it's probably a pretty good fucking song.
Dude knows what he's doing. Dude's fucking spits fire. And he's a big football fan.
And this is the guy we had the opportunity one time to interview, but it just didn't happen to work out.
Yes, we were wanting to go to his concert, but, you know, big time podcasters here, we got obligations.
Right.
So we had to do what we had to do, but he reached out to us, still wants to do the interview. The dude's awesome, and we like to support local people. And so we're going to hit him up, talk to him about what he's been doing, his up-and-coming hip-hop career, maybe talk some football. Dude's a Panthers fan, so... Kind of don't like that because they're in my fucking division. Don't like them. And, yeah. Austin's freaking out right now watching something during the Colts game. So we're going to go ahead. Is that pretty much all you had this week?
Yeah, that's all I had for the week.
All right, we're going to go ahead and jump into some NFL talk, starting with Thursday night's game between the Texans and the Dolphins. All of our stuff this week is brought to you by the Score app, my favorite sports app. So be sure and follow that. Put it on your phone. They have awesome recaps of the games and the most accurate stats. Like I said, Thursday, the Texans knocked off the Dolphins 42-23. Watson threw 5 touchdowns against the Dolphins and a single interception. Lamar Miller also went off with 133 yards and 2 touchdowns, one of them rushing, one of them receiving. Also, Danny Amendola had a better passing rating than the Dolphins starting quarterback Brock Osweiler. Danny threw a 28-yard touchdown to Miller, while Brock picked up 241 yards.
Danny Amendola, elite quarterback? Is that in the talks?
Maybe. Could be the starting quarterback for the 2019 season. Perfect passer rating compared to Osweiler that only had like a 64.
Wow. Ouch.
Yeah, because he didn't even throw a touchdown.
Yikes.
When your wide receiver throws more touchdowns than you do, got to start asking some questions.
Yeah. You have receivers out there outperforming your quarterback, throwing the ball to other wide receivers. Doesn't Yikes. Look so good for the quarterback.
Yeah, we're going to throw it over to the London game from this morning. Jags versus the Eagles. The Eagles ended up winning 24-18. Carson Wentz threw 3 touchdown passes to different players and a pass to himself for a first down at one point as Philadelphia defeated them 24-18 at Wembley Stadium. Blake Bortles restored his starting spot despite being pulled in the loss to Houston last week. He completed 24 of 41 passes for 286 yards for the slumping Jaguars.
I give it to them. This is actually the first time the Jaguars have lost in London. They were the last team to like go there multiple times and be undefeated. The Jaguars
were 3-0.
They're
about moving the Jaguars over to London.
Yep, they are talking about moving them over there.
Do you think Blake bounces back this year? Or do you think the Jaguars are just going to be in that mediocre spot for the rest of the season?
I think they're going to be in the center of the play. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, which is kind of good for the Colts, because if I see the Jaguars going down a bad slump for the rest of the year, and if I see the Colts playing games like they did today and last week, I could see the Colts maybe even squeezing up there with the Texans as being the team to make it to the playoffs, because the Titans, I don't believe, are going to be in the race at all. And the Jaguars were the team I was actually scared of. And if they keep losing games and falling into slumps, I could see the Colts maybe squeeze by there and possibly beat out the Texans in a game.
And I really thought they were going to have the number one defense this year, but as of right now, it's the Ravens, not even the fucking
Panthers. Yeah, and who would have saw the Ravens being the top defense?
And we'll talk more of them later. The Steelers beat the Browns, surprisingly, 33-18. Ben Roethlisberger threw two touchdown passes to Antonio Brown. James Conner, my boy, helping me out in fantasy a fuck ton, scored twice. And the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Cleveland Browns, 33-18, bringing some solace to a city grieving over the tragedy that happened earlier this week, as a mosque in Pittsburgh had a shooting where 11 people died. So T's and P's to those in Pittsburgh that were affected by that. The Steelers, 4-2-1, overcame a slow start and their own mistakes to win their 15th straight at Heinz Field over the Browns, who also have now lost their 25th consecutive road game, only one shy of the NFL record. So Browns going for some records this year, so that's a good thing.
Regardless whether they win or lose, the Browns still seem to be trying to make some record.
Yeah, they're still going for records.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Guys, you can always say that. We're still in the record book.
We don't got to win to go in the record books. We might not be a winning team, but people will remember.
Yep, we will always be remembered. And the Browns did take an early 6-point lead over the Steelers with two field goals, but then there was the missed field goal to go up by 9.
And that's when things just came crumbling down. That's when things started
crumbling down to the ground. But the Browns did try and rally in the fourth quarter, where they did get another touchdown, but it was just a little too late.
You know what the Browns are actually reminding me of a little bit is kind of what we're seeing out of the St. Louis Blues in hockey. They actually play pretty decent until that one thing goes wrong, and then they're like,
it's just crumbles.
Oh, we're not good at this.
What is hockey? Yeah, what is football? What is
football? We don't know. The Redskins beat the Giants 20-13. Adrian Peterson, who Austin decided to drop off of his fantasy team, decided to catch a 7-yard touchdown from Alex Smith and run for a season high of 149 yards, the last one being a 64-yarder for a touchdown with 3:06 to play. Dustin Hopkins added a field goal. Are the Redskins a good defense? They're shutting down some of the NFL's top running backs, making life miserable for opposing quarterbacks, and not giving up many points and doing a lot of shit talking right now.
I wouldn't say they're necessarily one of the best in the league, granted that they just played the Giants, and the Giants have been abysmal this season on offense. Let me go ahead and just give this little shout out real quick. If you guys want to know what to do for fantasy, listen to who I have and the people I drop. Because every time I drop someone, they start to do really fucking good. And I'm tired of it.
Maybe that's something we should do, like on our Facebook pages, is every week just say post, like, or just us post a picture of what we've done that week to our lineups. That way when people are like, Austin dropped these people this week, might be somebody to pick up.
Yeah, because it seems to be every time I drop someone, they blow up for a 26-point game, and it's fucking annoying.
And although I haven't started him all this year, so it's not like it was that much, I did drop Sammy Watkins from my game, and he ended up having a touchdown and some pretty big yards this week.
He had two touchdowns this week. But I also wanted to say Odell is so good at catching a football. Yes, that's really all I can say about the Giants' performance today is Odell can catch a fucking football.
Yeah, they really can't be mad at him or
Barkley,
who received a lot of praise from AP at the end of the game.
Yes, he did.
AP went up, shook his hand, told him that he had been watching him all season long and that the sky was the limit for him.
And that's something I was going to say, is I think that's really high praise for Adrian Peterson, probably the best running back of our era, like in the last 10 years, running back wise. He's probably blown the doors off of everyone through the decade. He's gotten so much shit going on. And to look at Barkley and say, you
even through adversity.
Yeah. Through adversity, from beating his kids and shit like that, he's still because one of the
loves
best.
Them. Yeah, he loves them so much. We talked about it earlier.
Yeah,
when you're little, you hit girls because you think they're cute and you like them. So it just means he really likes his kids.
Just really likes his kids.
Safety DJ Swearingen, you know, throwing it back to the Redskins defense that people are talking about right now. DJ Swearingen intercepted two passes. Had Matt Linaitis. Yep. He had 2.5 sacks, and the Redskins rode their defense to a third straight win. The Redskins sacked a battered Eli Manning 7 times and forced 2 turnovers and limited Barkley to only 38 rushing yards.
Wow. That's, so the R words are getting really good at stopping running backs.
The R's got D.
The R's got D.
All right.
A little bit for them.
New York is now 1-7 after their 5th straight loss. So there's also a rumor going out. The Raiders are saying they're not going to give him up. But there are rumors right now that New York is going to be going for Derek Carr. Do you like this move? Is Derek Carr worth a first-round pick from the Giants right now? Or do you think the Giants should just go ahead and draft a quarterback and work him through their system? Maybe keep Eli on the team for a couple years to train a new quarterback.
Personally, like I think, I think the Giants should not trade for Derek Carr and then pick a quarterback of their liking to let build Eli up into
play
the team.
One more year.
Yep.
Let him learn. Tell your fans.
Make sure Eli's on the team. Draft a quarterback. Here's the deal. You either keep Eli for 1 year or 2 years. Next year, you let Eli play again after you drafted a quarterback, like what the Kansas City Chiefs did with Pat Mahomes. Correct. Pat Mahomes got an entire season of watching Alex Smith play. Now look at him. He's out there slinging it. Look at Aaron Rodgers, who sat behind Brett Favre
for
a couple
years. You need to pay Eli Manning to create somebody that can take his job.
Yes, that's what you need to do. You need to pay Eli Manning to make somebody take his job. So either you do a 1 year and have Eli on the sideline and put your rookie in and have Eli as like a mentor, or do 2 years, let Eli play a year, sit your rookie, then the next year
the rookie plays and he still has Eli to mentor him, almost like another quarterback coach.
Yes.
Very nice. Speaking of Pat Mahomes, the Chiefs beat the Broncos 30-23 in a gunslinging game. Pat Mahomes had yet again 300-yard passing day with 4 touchdowns. Kareem Hunt had another fucking hurdling, tackle-breaking, hold-my-dick fucking touchdown as the Chiefs lead, they wouldn't surrender it. Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins produced huge games too, as the high-powered Kansas City offense once again made the incredible look downright casual in a 30-23 victory, and they finished their season sweep of the Broncos.
Damn, they fucking took care of the Broncos hard as shit. And the Kansas City Chiefs are just looking so fucking good.
Yeah, they lost their game against the Patriots.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, the Patriots can do that. We also, right now, we're in a really close game between the Packers and the Rams, where, you know, you give Aaron Rodgers the amount of time that he needs. I believe they just took the lead.
Yep, 27-26, Green Bay.
Yep, so Aaron Rodgers is definitely a guy that can do that to a team like the Rams. However, there's still 8 minutes and 44 seconds, and we all know what the Rams can do with their amazing weapons. So this game might be over by the time we're done with the podcast, and we'll fill you guys in on that. Otherwise, it'll be Monday when you listen to this, and you can just fucking look it up.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
Yeah. Seahawks versus the Lions. Wilson threw 3 touchdown passes in the second quarter to put the Seahawks ahead, and they went on to beat the Detroit Lions 28-14, leaning on their running game and defense just as they have throughout this turnaround. We can do whatever we want right now, Wilson said. Can you, though?
I don't know if they can really do whatever they want. I gotta say
they're 4-3.
Yeah, they're 4-3, but today's game was a real odd touchdown scoring affair for the Seahawks. All their touchdowns were amazing.
Yeah, they were like fucking
tippy tappy ball happens to land in the right spot.
You can literally have a Sports Center highlight reel of every fucking catch the Seahawks had.
Right, and it was all in the first half, really. Seattle at halftime was 21-7. The game ended 28-14.
Yeah.
So both teams
and
struggled
slow, but then in that second quarter, Wilson just goes the fuck off.
Yeah, so really they just had a good first half, and they were able to score one more time to secure their win in the second half.
And we'll just have to see how they do next week. They look good coming in this week, coming off their bye, and they won their 4th time in 5 games after opening the season with 2 losses. So they've certainly bounced back from their struggling start, but they did have that bye week. We'll have to see what happens now that they're going to be playing another game without their bye week next week.
I just know they had a lot of luck this week, like I said, with the tippy-tappy touchdowns and the miracle kind of diving and the ball landing in the right spot, but also with a kickoff fumble. They kicked it to the Lions, and the Lions fumbled it on their 20-yard line, and then they were able to go ahead and do a passing touchdown right there. Yeah. I mean, they just had a lot of luck this week. Maybe it's because they're good. I'm going to go ahead and bank on that. It's the fact that they were lucky.
All right. Well, speaking of lucky, the Bucks and Bengals game was a close one. Jesse Bates returned James Winston's fourth interception for a touchdown, and Randy Bullock kicked a 44-yard field goal on the final play that sent Cincinnati Bengals to a 37-34 victory over Tampa Bay, who now have a quarterback question. The Bengals have a 5-3, or the Bengals that are now 5-3 recovered from their second worst drumming after Marvin Lewis and pulled it out with their only scoring drive in the second half. Andy Dalton had completions of 23 and 9 yards to AJ Green that got them in field goal range to salvage an uneven performance. Cincinnati had a 100-yard rusher and a 100-yard receiver while surging ahead in the first half and managed only 95 yards in the second half, 50 of them coming on the final drive. When we look at the Bucs side of things, Winston was benched after his terrible play. And that's right. Fitzmagic made his return, rallied the Buccaneers to a 34-34 tie with a pair of touchdown passes, including an 18-yard toss with 105 left. Unfortunately, like I said, Cincinnati was able to get it within field goal range to prevent it from going to overtime, but a pretty impressive look from old Fitzmagic there at the end. Do you think he starts next game?
I think he needs to. I think you need to bring Fitz in there.
Winston obviously didn't need his W's.
No, Winston hasn't done well since he came in. Fitz was actually doing well. He had one bad game and they benched him and threw him.
And he didn't do too good the game after that either, and that's when they made the switch, but he wasn't doing as bad as Winston just did.
Right, and here's my theory. I think they need to start the first half with Winston if they're losing at halftime.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about what we've been talking about all season and have two elite quarterbacks on your teams?
Winston comes out for the first half. If they're winning, Winston stays on the field. If they're losing at halftime, Ryan Fitz comes out.
NFL needs to get a fucking bullpen.
They do. They do pretty much a bullpen. That's pretty much what you need to do. I think the type of league we're having now, if you're not a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, I would even say the Atlanta Falcons, the Indianapolis Colts, the Green Bay Packers, and the New England Patriots, I would say those are the only teams that have quarterbacks on them right now that are so certain that they can win games that you don't need to bench them. I'm even putting people behind like Matt Stafford, who's like a big, he does throw the ball and he does do well. Today. But if he has somebody else in there who can also be a rally quarterback or do something for him in the back end, I think that's a magnificent deal. And the Colts even did a little bit of it whenever Andrew Luck, like the Colts were losing and they had to do a Hail Mary and they pulled Andrew Luck out and they put Jacoby Brissett in to throw the deep ball. And then everybody questioned if Andrew Luck's shoulder was hurt. But of course that was coming up. But that two quarterback set is what we've been talking about since the beginning of the year. And I would love to see the Buccaneers be the team to pioneer it along with the Ravens with having Joe Flacco and...
You know his name.
Oh, I do. It's... Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
So I just really would love to see that two set back.
And theirs is even wild because they line each of them up at wide receiver sometimes. So you don't even know what the fuck's going on.
You don't even know. It's like a wildcat play that's not a wildcat play. I think that's huge.
It's just a wild play.
Yeah, just a wild play.
Wild Raven play.
The Wild Ravens.
All right, well, let's look at the Jets versus the Bears. Bears put a whooping on the Jets, as per expected. The Chicago Bears got a win they sorely needed, only to lose another key player. Unfortunately, guard Kyle Long had to be helped off the field in the closing minutes with a foot injury to put a damper on the 24-10 victory over the New York Jets. Michael Trubisky threw for two touchdowns, and the Bears, 4-3, came out on top after dropping two in a row to fall out of the NFC North lead, but they may have to get by without their three-time Pro Bowl lineman after Long was injured in the closing minutes.
You stumbling?
Yeah. That was another hit for a team that was already missing their star pass rusher, Khalil Mack, who is out with a right ankle injury, and number one receiver, Allen Robinson, with a groin injury. So
the Bears are falling apart.
The Bears are starting to feel what I've been dealing with on the Falcons side of things. It's kind of hard to win when your team's all in the hospital.
Yeah. When your people can't walk, you can't really play football.
Yeah. Panthers versus the Ravens. Panthers surprised everybody coming against the NFL's leading defense, Cam Newton. And the Carolina Panthers did not wait until the fourth quarter to turn it up a notch on offense. The result was an impressive win against the league's number one defense. Cam Newton completed 21 of 29 passes for 219 yards and two touchdowns and ran for 52 yards and another score as the Panthers soundly defeated the Baltimore Ravens. for their ninth straight win at home. Christian McCaffrey had two touchdowns, and the Panthers continued to get an electrifying performance from different players. This time it was the rookie wide receiver DJ Moore, who turned in his best game as a pro with a 109 yards from scrimmage. So pretty nice game for the running backs for the Panthers. I had the Ravens in that game. Their defense has been pretty solid. I did not realize they were the number one defense right now in the league. But yeah, Cam and the Panthers handled them.
Maybe it'll start throwing the ball to more passes to more.
We all like more.
Yeah, everybody likes more.
All right, is there anything else NFL-wise that you wanted to cover?
Yeah, we need to go ahead and hit on that Colts game, bud.
All right, yeah, it just finished. What do you got, boy?
Well, the Colts ended up winning the game 42-28, and I got to give a lot of props. I actually said before that I believe this was going to be a huge game for the Colts, and I thought they were going to shellack the Raiders. However, the Colts went up by 10 early in the game, making it seem like I was right, but then the Raiders went ahead and came back and scored two touchdowns on us, and then it was 14-10, and I started to sweat. But as I said, with the final score, the Colts were able to come back. With that, three tight ends on the Colts were able to score touchdowns from passes from Andrew Luck, including Cox, Eric Ebron, and Jack Doyle, in that order in the receiving of the touchdowns. So that's the first time in Colts history that three tight ends have scored touchdowns in a single game. Also, it's the first time in the NFL's history that three tight ends on the same team scored touchdowns. And not only that was the history that the Colts made, Adam Vinatieri went ahead and became the all-time leader in scoring. Let's fucking go.
The timeless Italian.
The legendary leg.
The old guy who's good at kicking a football.
The man who does the things. He's on top of the mountain. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. And I actually have become an even bigger Vinatieri fan. I looked up his website. He owns a big private hunting ranch here in Missouri, actually out in Fulton. So like 30 minutes from us.
Right.
And holy shit, I saw some pictures of the animals that they have there that you can hunt. If you're in the area and you got some money spent, it's expensive.
Oh, I bet.
It's $4,000 to $15,000 to do a hunt there, but holy fuck, they got all kinds of different animals, and the fucking racks that the deers have are something out of a fucking, like, I'm pretty sure he grows them at the nuclear plant, because they're just fucking.
Well, there's one pretty close by.
That's what I'm saying. I think now, that's where he gets them.
With the Colts, having three tight ends score in a game must mean something. And here's what it means.
There's no wide receivers to throw to.
We have no fucking wide receivers. We have T.Y. Hilton and three fucking plebs nobody knows about. We got Inman, who was doing some stuff today. And
never
I
heard of him? No, you haven't.
I can't even name the other two that we have.
The other guy I know you haven't heard of because you didn't even say his whole last name when you mentioned him.
No, it's something Mo Atiya Cox. That's the tight end.
Mo Ali Cox.
Okay, Mo Ali Cox. That's he wants more cool name, Ali though. Cox.
Ali Cox. It's like Ali Cat. Ali Cox.
Yeah. So the Colts.
I bet his name's Ali Cox because he was just some homeless guy living on the street jerking his dick. And they're like, yo, you want to come catch footballs? He's like, sure, man.
Yeah, that's probably exactly. His name's actually not his name. It's just something they gave him when they found him. He probably didn't even know his name.
They named them all just like pets. They're just like, yo, this is Ali Cox.
And that's Inman over there.
Yeah, Inman.
Oh, my God.
They were literally just a couple of homeless dudes fucking each other. Yep.
He was inside of Ali Cox was taking it from Inman, and his name is Inman because he was inside a man.
You guys, what are you doing? Be like, we're trying to fuck. Be like, well, we need people to catch footballs. If you guys obviously like catching balls, let's get in here.
And yeah, they're like, come over to Indy. We got shit you can do.
And they're like, yeah, we'll pay you some money. They're like, fuck, you give us some fucking food and a place to fuck, and we'll come catch some balls for you.
So there it is. That's where we got Ali Cox, Mo Ali Cox, and Inman. They were fucking homeless people fucking in an alley. So
shout out to them.
Yeah, it's kind of a setup for a sitcom with T.Y. Hilton and three nobodies. So
yeah.
I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
All right. Well, it looks like it is still a close one for the Rams game. 4:42 left. Goff is trying to march his team down the field. Looks like we got a big play coming right now, deflected by the Packers. No good. So we can't tell you what the score is because the game's still going on.
Yep.
Gonna go ahead and jump into something that did end well, though. The St. Louis Blues got the job done finally as they beat the Blackhawks 7-3. Everybody seemed to be clicking, although Pietrangelo still looks fucking awful, constantly out of position, turned over a puck to allow a goal. The dude is -9 this year, and got his first goal only by launching a puck 200 feet into an empty net.
Which was awesome to see in person.
It was cool. Like, I'm sure that was fucking dope, but I guarantee you, it makes me a little mad because you got Tarasenko out there. Could have got the hat trick.
No. I'm glad that, because also Ryan O'Reilly had two goals as well.
Yeah.
So I had two people on the verge of hat tricks, and I have a very nice Blues hat that I don't want to throw.
You would have had to.
Literally, everyone I was sitting with, like, you ready to throw your hat? Because none of them wore hats. I was the only one with a hat, and I was like, dude, no, I can't even find this hat again. This is a limited edition hat. And they're like, doesn't fucking matter. You got to throw it. I'm like, I'm not throwing this. And they're like, we're fucking throwing it then. I'm like, well, I hope they don't score. When it was empty net and I saw Tarasenko on the ice, I was biting my nails hoping he didn't fucking score. Oh, God, I was so stressed.
But I guarantee Pietro was just like, I got to pad these stats because they are awful. He was negative 10 at that point.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in my opinion, he doesn't have the push. He's not that guy that's really going to push the team. I know some people are saying, give it to O'Reilly. It's his first year here. I don't know if he could really do that. But maybe demote him down to assistant, give the patch. I don't know who you give it to at this point, but the team needs somebody that will just fucking get them fired
up.
Would
he be our next longest tenured, or would it be Steen?
Steen would probably be a pretty good
captain. Now, I know it, originally when Pietrangelo got the captain's patch, it was in conversation that Steen was going to get it.
Yes.
So that might be the guy that they want to give it to.
Animosity. Correct. So, you know, at this point, moving some C's and A's around probably wouldn't be a bad idea. Allen took a big hit in the last 2 minutes of the second period, and he did not return to the game. It looked pretty bad coming off the ice, and we'll know more after he's evaluated.
When it happened, because I was at the game, watching it, I was above the goal. When I saw it happen,
it looked bad.
See, the contact didn't look bad until you noticed he didn't fucking move when he got hit.
And when, like, they slowed it down, his neck snapped back. Yeah,
his head snaps back, and then you just see him, like, go to the ice, and he literally was out. Yeah. Like, he just laid there. No movement. And I was like, oh, fuck, he's hurt. And then they moved over to go get him, and the people who, like, got over there to him and, like, slid in there, that's when he finally started to move. And I think they got there right as he was. I think he was not unconscious. The way he, like, acted when he got it, because it wasn't like, oh, and he hit the ice and moved. When he got hit, he was face planted into the ice and done.
Yeah, it didn't look good for sure watching the replays. They ended up bringing out Chad Johnson, who was able to hold down the net, made 5 saves to prevent the Hawks from coming back. But our offense was clicking that time. The team as a whole looked really good. You know, we almost had some... almost got to see a fight, but fucking soft-ass refs just wouldn't let it happen.
You should have seen it while you were there, because he actually, the guy on the Blues, rocks Seabrook. No, I saw the first hit. He did rock him,
and that's why I was like, okay, let's go. They're fighting. Get the fuck out of the way. And the refs just wouldn't let it happen.
There was a report
and we actually got the power play.
Yeah, there was a report that came out, and the reason they broke it up is because of that hit. They thought Seabrook was done already. They said he was gonna go down as soon as if he would have swung again, it would have been over anyway. Yeah, but
then even afterwards, he threw a punch afterwards too. And so I was like, fuck, just let the boys fucking throw him. It's Blues Blackhawks.
Yeah, and there were 3 or 4 broken up fights during it, like on the side of the ice. Yeah, in the last
5 minutes, it got pretty heated.
Yeah.
And I would love to see that.
Which normally is what happens when you go up by at least 3 goals. There's typically some bad blood that goes. And this one ended up being a 4-goal ahead, with the Blues having 7 and the Blackhawks only having 3.
Yes. And so the Blues don't play again until November 1st, which is this upcoming Thursday, where they face the Vegas Knights. So that'll be a fun one.
Is that at home or away?
It is home. The Blues have now 6 more home games in a row.
Oh, wow.
So they're on a homestand for a while because they just got off the road stand. So this is a time where the Blues really need to turn things around. Yes, they're at home for a while.
They need to win.
You just came off a big win. You're going to get a bunch of rest until Thursday. We need to come out hot. Vegas also not having the hottest start right now. They're 4-5-1. So we need to get this going. The only big thing is Marc-Andre Fleury. Is a stud.
Hopefully,
but so
Perron
is Crawford, and we scored 7 on him.
Right. Hopefully, Perron has a good game, because it'll be his game against the Knights.
Yes, and who would have thought? I've always been a Perron fan, but who would have thought that motherfucker would be leading our team right now?
Yeah, who would have? He's a guy we might give the assistant captain to.
Maybe.
He's been here 3 times. He keeps coming back. It's not like he's not a stay here. I mean, he's a guy we've traded off, but he's really showing a reason why he should be here.
Yeah.
So
we'll just have to see. It pretty much wraps up everything I have on hockey and our NFL sections. We're going to go ahead and jump into some segments, starting off with the Wow Story of the Week.
Wow.
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 Them are some goofy clouds.
Those are some goofy fucking clouds, bud. Mm. Where are you getting your stuff for your goofy clouds?
I always get my goofy clouds at the vapor store.
You talk about the one in Lake St. Louis off of Lake St. Louis Boulevard with the second location off of Mexico Road in O'Fallon?
Fuck yeah, I am.
Holy shit, it's almost like we know exactly where those places are.
These guys are getting big. They just had to hire 3 new employees to make sure you guys are getting the best service anytime you go in there. They always have amazing flavors. They just restocked on all their tanks and mods. They got discounts on a bunch of them.
God damn.
And check them out. Either location, tell them Inside the Pocket sent you. They are going to hook you the fuck up.
Yes.
All right, Austin. What do you got for your Wow Story of the Week this
week?
Well,
St. Louis is kind of shitty. Yeah. What I mean by that is we have a Banksy, or should we call him a Dookie?
Dookie. Dukeski.
Dukeski. Running around St. Louis, covering up stop signs with the word poop. He's spray painting the S and the T in stop with red spray paint and covering it with a white P-O to spell out poop along the South City streets.
That's vandalism and dangerous.
Yes, it is. Because I don't think you stop to poop. I mean, I stop to poop. But
yeah, but a guy like you, you might just be driving along, see it, you're not going to stop, and then you're just going to shit yourself.
Yeah, I'll just shit myself and like, hit someone.
Oh, God!
I read the sign. I was doing what the sign said.
Yeah. A cop may have pulled me over and said, sir, let me see your underpants. You didn't shit back there at the poop sign. I'm going to have to place you under arrest.
Yeah, see, and I can't be having anything like that. Nobody has time for that. Yeah, nobody has time for that. We can't be having this kind of dookie monstrosity happening in St. Louis.
Speaking of shitty stories.
Oh, you got a shitty story?
No, I'm just saying we tell a lot of shitty stories, and this is a real shitty one.
Oh, it is a real shitty story. But I just thought it was funny.
Actually, I do have a shitty story, but finish your Wild story.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, okay. We want to know what the creator of this is trying to get across. Why is he writing poop across the stop
signs? What does it all mean?
What does it all mean? That's what the big question on my Wow story is. I find it a Wow story because somebody is literally going around vandalizing, and it's being seen as street art.
Wow.
I guess I can just start breaking glass and talk about how I'm saying that this is a... I'm just showing that there are no barriers. Like, is that something
it's
I can
deep.
Do?
It's deep.
Can I just go into any restaurant and throw a rock through the window, and they'll be like, what the fuck? I'll make it street
art. It's art.
I'm just showing you art.
Don't judge.
I just made that a beautiful window by breaking down barriers amongst people. I'm not trying to harm anyone. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm
just art.
Being crafty.
I almost want to go through to all these signs that he's writing poop on and then turn those into another word.
What word could you turn? What's another word that starts with P-O? Like poem? You could then spray out the other OP and put EM.
Or you could change it from poop to boob.
Yep, you could change it from poop to boob. And then St. Louis will be covered
just
in boobs.
Pregnant peas.
That's true.
So then everybody, now you're just going to have a bunch of chicks flashing at stop signs, which is a lot bigger, better
situation,
in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree as well.
Yeah.
That might be what I do this weekend.
All right. Well, speaking of your poopy story, before I get into my Wow story, let me tell you a quick little shitty story.
All right. Ooh, everybody strap in.
Monday, I had to poop.
All right.
Got to work early. I get to work pretty early to listen to my podcast and do whatever. Thank you shit for this. But I wasn't even at work. And I was in one of your situations. I had to find a place to poop.
Oh, yeah.
It'll happen. At 5 in the morning, not a lot of places are open for you to go poop.
No.
So I pull into Clayton, and I see a Schnucks. I assumed they were 24/7. Some of them are.
Yeah.
Not in Clayton.
Oh.
So I pull up, go up to the door. It's not opening. I can tell they're closed. But I see some guys working, and they're doing some construction. I pull on it, and it opens up. So it was set to the manual open and shut. So I walk in there, and I'm just casually walking along, heading to the bathroom, and a Schnucks employee comes up, goes, sir? I was like, yeah. He goes, are you a customer? I said, no, I'm here with the construction team. He goes, oh, okay. Make my way into the bathroom, take a nice, disgusting shit, clean up real quick, try to go fast before questions start getting asked.
Right.
And then I come out, say, just kind of wave to him, make my way to the door. And he goes, sir? I was like, yeah. He goes, where are you going? I said, I quit. open the door and shut it, make my way to the Jeep, drive off to my job. So I had the quickest deployment ever.
So homeboy thinks that you're a part of the construction crew at the Schnucks, and you just walked in, shit, and walked out and said and you quit. My job. You know that dude walked over to that crew like,
you just had a guy quit. Like, what are you talking about? Be like, some guy with a beard and holes in his ears would be like, I don't know who the fuck you're talking about.
So they probably don't. They probably think somebody quit. He probably called his job. Like, his boss. Like,
apparently we had a guy quit, or did you guys send a guy? They're looking at tape, and then you see me walk in and go to the bathroom and come back out, but then the one guy never even saw me. I just saw some construction guys as I was walking up, but I never saw them when I was in there. So they may think a ghost came and shit. They have no idea what happened.
I mean, did you flush?
Yeah.
No, okay, well, then they might not have ever.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but just the mystery shitter of Clayton is what I'll be known as.
The mystery shitter, huh? Well, that's a pretty impressive story, and that's kind of a wow as it is, but I am really curious to hear what your actual wow story is.
All right, one little tidbit before we get into it. It looks like the Rams did kick a field goal and are now up 29-27. However, Aaron Rodgers not on the field right now, and the Packers are out of timeouts. Looks like the Rams are just trying to get a quick first down, but I guess there's a penalty on the play.
Yeah, so... Oh,
nope, the Rams called a timeout.
Okay, while they're on offense. In the red zone, the Rams call a timeout.
Yep, they just got to get a first down, and then they'll win the game, but we'll see what happens.
All right.
But yeah, my wow story. Grandma shoots grandson after he puts a cup of tea on the furniture.
Wow.
This was Brooklyn Center, Minnesota.
Oh, up there normally, at the smallest pop drinks?
Yeah, so normally people are pretty nice up there, but this 75-year-old lady was not. She was arrested and charged with shooting her grandson after he allegedly placed a cup of tea on her furniture. Little old Helen Washington allegedly shot her grandson in the leg. The grandson told police that she had become very upset when he repeatedly refused to keep his teacup off of the furniture. Which, if your fucking grandma tells you to get tea off the furniture, get the fucking tea off the furniture. Yeah. Kind of brought it upon himself being a little fucking prick. But apparently this prompted her to take his tea and pour it out. Ooh. Because he wouldn't do what she said. So she gave him a pretty firm warning.
Yeah.
She went upstairs and came back down to find he had gotten another cup of tea and set it on the furniture, in which Granny decided to whip out her .38 special revolver and pop that motherfucker 5 times in the leg.
5 times?
5 times in the leg.
She shot him 5 times?
It said the grandson was found on the front lawn with 5 rounds in his leg. Washington was charged with second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon. She is scheduled to appear on court December 18th.
What the fuck? I want this lady as a grandmother. Fucking popping shots into people. Dude, fuck yeah. Like,
you put tea on my motherfucking couch again.
Hey, all right, G.
All right, Granny, I hold that shit up.
Blah, 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 blah. Oh, that's dope. I want her as my grandma. I just tell her people are doing bad shit to me all the time.
Yeah, and then she's
going to go fucking shoot people.
You think this granny has killed some people?
All right, the Rams ended up winning the game. One more update, so we're done with the football stuff.
Rams 8-0.
Yep, Rams 8-0. They ended up winning the game. Todd Gurley slowed down so he didn't score a touchdown for time to run out, which is fucking bullshit because it was wide open, and I have Todd Gurley on my fantasy team.
That's cool. Hey, guess what? Nobody gives a fuck about your fantasy.
That's true. But it's also a smart play by the Rams because giving Aaron Rodgers the ball to throw a Hail Mary at the end of the game has not worked out well for a lot of teams.
However, Todd Gurley did end up getting you 27.5 points. So you really
I'm okay with that. I would have liked 30.
But we'll see how that goes. But yeah, this granny, she don't fuck around. You don't put shit on her furniture, she'll put some hot lead in your leg.
God damn.
So that wraps up our last stories. We're going to jump into our next segment, which would be what we would do if we were president of the United States.
If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday. If I was president, if I was president.
Awesome. Why don't you tell these fine motherfuckers what you would do if you was president of these United States?
If I was the president of the United States, I would stop being so goddamn soft and I'd bring back public executions. I'm tired of these people going to jail and then they end up getting on death row. I'm talking about the ones who deserve it. I know there's people who get there and they don't deserve it and blah, 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 and there's trials and all that. I'm not saying it for any humane reasons. I'm saying it because it's time to start putting people in place and getting things in check. We have a lot of people in prisons here in the United States. We have the most people in prison than any other country in the world. If we start hanging people... Yes, it does. If we start doing public hangings of people and doing stoning like what they used to do back in the day, I think people are gonna stop doing a lot of crime.
Yeah, like holy fuck.
Like, for one, school shootings.
Like, not even just the electric chair and shit like that. No, yeah. Be like, you are gonna have a fucking miserable time if you do something fucked up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, school shootings. I think any person who commits a school shooting should be executed. And I don't mean
they should make like a giant meat slicer and you just get lowered in by your toes and it just slowly just
takes chops it away. You'd be dead before it made it to your kneecaps.
They're going to put a tourniquet around your leg so you don't bleed out as it cuts it off. And then they're going to put another one. You know, probably by the time it gets halfway up, you're going to be dead. But not going to be fun.
No, not going to be fun at all. But I think stoning is the big one that I want back. I think anybody who does anything like super aggressive like that, like personally, I think if you kill someone, you should be killed.
Now, do you mean the stoning where they literally hit you with the rocks or where they stack them on you until it crushes you?
Both. Whichever one they decide to do. We'll take turns. First person, you get rocks thrown at you. Second person, you get crushed.
Or it's like a lottery, like spin the wheel of execution.
Yeah, something like that. Anything that's what like
you
that. Get.
You make and them then you spin
can,
for
then
it.
You can fucking, you can gamble on that. You could do like,
and all which the money people, gonna, yeah, yeah, people and all can get paid out and any of the money goes towards fixing shit.
Yeah, fixing
people
shit.
People like to gamble.
Yeah, so I'd bring back public executions, not because I want to see people die, but I think it's...
some people.
Well, I want some people to die, but I don't want to watch... Like, I'm not saying I want to do it because I want to watch it. I'm saying I want to do it so when it is publicized, people are like, holy shit, they're fucking doing this now?
And they could even make it where some fucked up people could watch bad people die, and it might be something like where you pay... something to watch the executions, and that could even be like a scared straight thing. If kids are acting up, the parents are going to pay $5 to watch that week's fucking executions. You sit your kid down and say, this is what's going to happen to you. You keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, anything like that.
You little fucking motherfucker.
So, yeah, I think it's or about
time. Or just
beat
your kids.
Yeah, or just, you know, just give them a good again. Smack on the butt. I'm not saying punch your kid
as somebody
in the
who's
eye.
Never going to have kids, go ahead and beat your kids.
But, yes, I think we're getting way too soft on shit like that. And... one, everyone's already fucking...
soft?
No, what is it when you watch too much of something and then you're just
desensitized.
Used to it? Yeah, we're already desensitized. We're already used to seeing people die and get
4chan,
shot.
4chan, Reddit, all that shit. Trust me, we've seen it.
Yeah, we've all seen it. So now show the people who are doing the bad shit that they're going to die by having... like, one of them I want is I want a bunch of 12-year-olds to do the stonings. I don't want adults. I want 12-year-olds. I want 12-year-olds to peg you to death with stones. You know how long that's going to take for 12-year-olds to kill an adult man? Right. And you're going to stay there until you die. That's how I want that to go.
And all the 12-year-olds that are doing the stoning are, like, bad kids. So
they might have
then they're doing it. And then it's like, yeah, now imagine what you just did happening to you.
Yeah. Have the other inmates or other death row people have to kill the other people on death row? Yeah.
Or you even make games out of it.
Yeah, who...
death
there's
matches.
So many different ways. We'll have gladiators again.
Bring them back.
Yep, and if you win 10 straight, you go to normal prison. You're no longer on death row.
But they still deserve to die.
Yeah, but they get to
we're
be in prison.
We're going to tell them that, and then if they win 10 in a row, we just fucking kill them.
Okay, yeah, we'll do something like that. Fuck them. Fuck them.
Yeah. All right, well, if I were president, I would do something like auctioning off a president for a day deal for people.
Okay, that sounds extremely dangerous.
I know, but listen to this. They're not actually going to do that. It's almost just like a ghosting type deal.
Okay.
It will be a day where people can pay money to come in. They'll obviously be extensively checked and monitored the entire time. But it would be something where people can actually see the massive amount of shit that somebody like that might actually have to do in a day. Some people are like, oh, this guy doesn't fucking do anything. Can you imagine the amount of shit they probably actually have to do? And just the dumb shit they're going
to
be able
to. I bet they have a lot of other people doing shit for them and just tell them
I'm
what
sure
they got
to
do.
No, I'm sure there is a lot. But when it comes down to like... okay, here you go. You have to decide on this. I'm sure he has to look over what the fuck it is. You got meetings. You got other people hitting you. You got to respond to every fucking weather crisis, terrorist attack, everything that fucking happens that goes wrong, you're obligated to respond and react to all this shit and be like, okay, well, blah, blah, blah. Might give some people some perspective is what I was thinking. Then, because people bitch a lot.
Man, now that you say that, could you imagine if we would have killed Osama bin Laden while Trump was president? What his, like, speech would have been?
I'm the fucking best.
He was a huge threat. We killed him. He's no longer here. I know a guy. He's my best friend. He's a good guy. We're playing golf
tomorrow.
We're playing golf tomorrow.
With his head.
He was the one who killed Osama. It was a big deal. You're welcome.
I'm going to touch twice pussy.
I'm going to grab him by the pussy, and we're going to build a wall. A wall just around his body. Just a single, just a four rectangular wall to keep him from not memorializing his grave. Because did you know that? They launched him in the ocean so people wouldn't memorialize his grave.
That's because I don't think he's really dead.
Wouldn't it have been a better idea to actually just bury him somewhere and then just watch it so if other terrorists came there...
have a scientist make sure it was fucking him and then do something with it?
Well, not even that, but if we did bury him and there was a grave and other terrorists came to make it a shrine, couldn't we just kill them there?
You know what I would do with like big terrorists or something that we killed? You kill them, you bring the body back, you dip it in some sort of hot metal so they're casted into it, and you put them up somewhere as like a trophy.
Darth Vader?
But listen. Then you have a permanent statue of being like, this is what we do to people who fuck with America. You want to be like this guy? We'll turn you into a fucking trophy.
Holy shit. That's some dark shit. I like it, though. Are going
to fuck with us?
No, that's some Vlad the Impaler shit. That's what he used to do to his enemies. He'd stick them on the, like, he'd impale them, and he'd put them outside Dracula. His castle and be like, well.
Who's fucking with me?
Yeah, well, fuck it. Yeah, good idea.
Just big statues everywhere of the fucked up people that America said,
you're not dead. Today. Okay. All right, I'm on board with that.
All right, we're going to go ahead and jump into our next segment, which is going to be our conspiracy theories. All right, so since somebody didn't have one this week,
I will come up with one.
No, you're not.
I will.
I'm going to go ahead and hit you guys with one. It's an odd one. Say Bigfoot was real and we knew about it. It's a critically endangered animal and its territory extends over tens of millions of acres. It was officially discovered and recognized that EPA and the Endangered Species Protection Act would then have to set aside impossibly large amounts of land in the Pacific Northwest that could destroy the American lumber industry and halt new housing developments across three states with a growing population. So the industry and the government worked together to keep the discovery of the Bigfoot unknown so that he doesn't fuck up a bunch of possibly developmental.
Holy shit. So you're saying there's actually probably more than one. So
there's probably government teams that go around killing Bigfoots and stuff and making sure nobody ever finds one, because then PETA and everybody else will freak the fuck out and we'll have to get these.
Because they're probably like, maybe they're like a more intelligent species, but they're not like us. Like, they don't have like the kind of communication skills we do, so.
Here's another one I added to this. What if Bigfoots are actually the remnants of Nephilim from when angels apparently came and bred with humans? They were supposed to have giant human babies. And there's actually, if you YouTube like the Afghan giant, there's videos and recounts of soldiers and stuff that say that they saw like a 15-foot soldier over in Afghanistan.
What? A 15-foot? I think that would be more widespread. I'm pretty sure there'd be a lot of pictures and videos.
There's a lot of former, apparently, there's a ton of veteran accounts that say that they've witnessed something like this. And there's actually a couple videos where you can see these guys standing, and there's one person looks like a human that is literally twice to three times as big as every other person standing there.
No shit.
And there have been, like, what look like humanoid skeletons found that were, like, 10 to 15
feet. I've heard
of
that. I've seen them finding skeletons of 12-13 foot people.
Which were supposed to be the offspring of male angels and female human offspring, created these super powerful, just giant-ass human beings. And maybe the Bigfoot is, like, the remnants of those.
So, like, maybe the Nephilim's kids?
Possibly.
Huh. That's not a bad idea.
So Bigfoot, possible Nephilim, possible animal that the government doesn't want us to find out is real, so then they can just keep building shit and tearing down land.
Wow. That's pretty interesting, especially with, like, the big hype of Bigfoot. Like, somebody like Pat McAfee always says, not everybody can be lying. Yeah, somebody, and that, and like, that's what just they like, see, somebody's got to be serious.
And that's the way it is, even when you're looking at a lot of things like this. And I know that they say there can be, like, widespread paranoia and stuff like that. Or if somebody sees it, all of a sudden, a lot of people think they saw it and shit like that. But, like you said, not everybody can be making this shit up.
Yeah, and now that you're bringing up mythological creatures, did you see the thing about the Mothman in Chicago that popped up the other day?
Oh, I did not. I've heard of Mothman.
There were 5 sightings of the Mothman in Chicago last week. At different spots of Chicago, people got pictures of what seemed to be Mothman.
And really?
He's not from Chicago. He's in, like, a New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like,
because New Jersey has a lot of urban legends. The Jersey Devil, the Mothman, yeah, the Owlman, or whatever the fuck he is, which... quite possibly could be the same thing.
Right.
But no, I did not realize Chicago had
maybe
that.
I'll look it up here in a little bit. But yeah, no, they saw, there were like 5 pictures, they were on Facebook and they went viral, of people saying that they found the Mothman in Chicago.
Just hanging out or what the fuck?
There's one of it looking like jumping off a building. And then there's a couple of it where like people are taking like skyline pictures and you can see something in the background with super bright eyes and it's as tall as a person.
That's wild.
So, there's been a few sightings of possibly the Mothman. So, that could
keep your eyes out for the Mothman.
Yeah, that could be my conspiracy theory. The Mothman is now in Chicago. However, that's not the one I'm going to choose. The one I'm going to choose is, I think me and you are slowly turning into horrible people. Because in this podcast alone, we both have been talking about executing prisoners who have committed murder.
I don't know if we're really
murder.
Turning into horrible people. I think I've been this horrible for a while.
I mean, probably.
People are just not going to find out about it.
We earlier in another podcast compared myself to Hitler.
Yeah.
We said fuck
a
lot of people.
You're way too dumb to be Hitler, though.
Yeah, I am pretty fucking dumb. I can't write books. I can't write books. Are you serious? I can't.
I'm too lazy to take guns away from 6 million people.
Oh my God. Could you imagine the hassle?
Yeah.
That's why I probably couldn't actually be president. Now that we're on the conspiracy, but thinking about like, dude, I just don't care.
Yeah. Like, even stuff I care about, sometimes I'm like, I just, nah.
I'm not going to do that. Sounds like a lot
of
work.
I'm just not going to do that today. All right. Well, we're going to jump into our last segment before the beer review, which is going to be our Reddit shower thoughts. All right, our shower thoughts are from the subreddit Shower Thoughts on Reddit, and these are a few of the awesome ones I found. If elevators didn't exist, penthouses would be for poor people. Because they'd have to walk all the way to the fucking top.
Then they could just use escalators.
I'm saying if elevators and escalators aren't real. No quick way to go up and down. If people had to just walk, they would make that for poor people. Because
so it'd be just like an apartment complex.
Yeah. Where it's shittier to walk all the way to the top. But even apartment complexes, if they're 20 feet high, they're going to have an elevator.
True.
I mean, 3 stories is that high to walk in a normal, like, small one like us. But in New York, where they're fucking 60 stories tall, they don't have a penthouse in a 3-story apartment building. They're all the same.
They should. They should do that.
Just
they should
start
do
making a really
yeah,
nice
they should
one.
Make a really nice one on the top floor.
Yeah, and then everybody can just not like those people. If Adam and Eve would have gotten into a fight, it would have been a world war.
Holy fuck. I've never thought about that. That's crazy, actually.
Just 2 people.
Yeah,
that's
they're just the only
just
2.
Just duking it out.
Wow. Adam would have won.
Yeah. When people eat dinner at home, they all eat the same thing. But when you go out, it's weird if 2 people order the same thing.
I don't think it's weird if 2 people order the same thing.
I don't think it's weird, but normally it's like, typically people order different stuff. Like when you go out to eat.
I guess.
Unless you're like a couple.
Oh, you mean, yeah, that's true. I was thinking more fast food.
Yeah, like, fast food's a little different, but I'm saying, like, if we went to the bar, typically you and I always get something a little different.
Yeah, that's true. Huh.
Yeah, or if you had a big group of people, say, like, 10 people went out to eat and you all ordered the same thing, that would be a little odd. Normally, out of those 10 people, somebody's going to want different stuff.
Yeah.
But if you had 10 people over for dinner, they're all going to eat whatever everybody made.
Which can still be like different things. Like if you have 10 people, everybody probably bought a side dish.
Yeah, and you're not going to eat everything. Yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Spider-Man wouldn't be as cool if he shot webs out of his butt like normal spiders do. But actually, I think that'd be pretty fucking cool.
I think it'd be even cooler.
Yeah. Just fucking shit on your enemies and tie them up.
Because he'd just do backflips to do his thing. Because like he'd shoot it out of his ass to get on a building and it'd swing him upside down. And then whenever he released to go to another one, he'd have to do a full backflip to shoot it again.
And be way more demoralizing to the enemies.
Yeah. It'd be cooler if he shot it out of his dick and he just came webs. That would be awesome.
I would. And then he just sweat.
From his
swing
dick.
On his dick everywhere.
Oh, that would be so painful. Yeah. Could you think your whole body
But he's super strong, so maybe it wouldn't hurt.
You think that Spider-Man, like, fucks real good?
Might be dangerous.
Do you think that his dick is extra sensitive because of his spidey senses and he comes real early?
Ooh, I don't know. Maybe he can control it.
Huh.
I don't know how spiders fuck.
I think spiders don't actually fuck. I'm pretty sure that spiders actually place semen into the females. I think that's how they do it. Like, spiders don't fuck. They, like, come and then force it into the other spider. I'm
that's
pretty
not
sure.
Very enjoyable. I feel bad for female spiders.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Well, actually, humans and dolphins are the only two living creatures that have sex for enjoyment.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure spiders, they literally don't fuck. Like, there is no insertion. It's like the spider comes.
Jerks off and then just.
Yeah, and like just rubs it on her pussy until the spider
God
gets.
Damn, spiders
pregnant.
Are fucked up. Can you imagine Spider-Man doing that to a chick and she's like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Be
like,
comes up there and just slaps her.
What is this wrong? This is how I do it.
Oh God.
Mary Jane, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
During an earthquake, coffins become giant maracas.
Oh my God, that's so awful. That's so
just
funny.
Rattling them bones around.
Especially old ones because it's on the wood. Like the newer ones, they have the pads in it, which I think is a waste of cloth and padding. Like just
you don't need to be comfortable. You're fucking
dead. You're dead. Fuck
that. Who gives a fuck?
And a bunch of bullshit.
You have any shower thoughts?
I do have some shower thoughts. If things are BOGO, buy one, get one, aren't they really just both half off?
Basically. So you could just, it's just a spin zone.
Yeah. You're just, it's just not. You're, why wouldn't you just say everything's 50% off?
Because BOGO sounds cool.
I guess BOGO, because if somebody only buys one during a BOGO,
because it's cooler
it's
to be
full
like,
price, but if it's 50% off everything and you buy one, you get 50% off.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it just sounds better to be like, oh, I paid half price for these. Oh, well, I got this one free, motherfucker.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
it just
true.
Sounds better. It's just the way it sounds. It
just attracts people differently.
Yep. All right, well, we got one more thing we're going to add to the end of this podcast, and it's something we hinted on a week or so ago, and it's movie ideas.
Yes.
So why don't you hit us with yours, Austin?
I will tell you. So I actually came up with this because I had a dream about it, and it was kind of like it was a really short dream, and I remembered it very vividly. First, I'm going to say what the dream was, and I'm going to give you the plot of my movie. So
yeah, okay.
What my dream was I was dreaming of what seemed to be like a post-apocalyptic
world. You're dreaming
of
semen?
Yes, it was men out at sea. So what I was dreaming of was what seemed to be a post-apocalyptic world, and there was a teacher and like a kindergarten class of kids, okay. And they were driving on the post-apocalyptic world. And when they got out of the school bus, I was kind of like in a third person view of a little girl, and there was another girl next to her, but nobody was talking to the girl next to her, but like the kids were reacting with the girl I was watching. But the girl I was watching was interacting with the girl next to her, and the teacher was explaining how this used to be where we lived. Like, this was the world.
So they took a field trip to the fucked up world.
Yes, and then that's where my dream ended. So what I came up with was, it's a post-apocalyptic world where the people who survive are now recovered in colonies underground, but they take stages of kids to go above ground to show them what the world had become because of how bad we fucked up before, and they're trying to rehabilitate the world so they can then live above ground again. And this girl has communication, this little girl is having communications with the dead of children from the world before. So like when they went on the field trip, in my mind, the girl that nobody was talking to but I could see was the ghost girl that this girl could see and would have conversation with. And she'd be like, oh, where are we? And this girl would be like, oh, this used to be where I went to school. Like, when I was alive, we actually went to schools here. Unlike you guys, this is where we went. And the moral of the movie would be you following around this girl through the stages of her life of them trying to rehabilitate the world.
Mm. What if you spun it a little bit, almost made it like a big plot twist, okay?
Okay.
So all these adults are showing the kids, you know, this world because they're going to rehabilitate them. But then the ghost girl, maybe there's multiple kids around that can communicate with certain dead people. And the dead kids are warning the new kids, hey, that's exactly what all these adults started doing to us that led to the end of the world. And they're just still trying to do it. Although it fucked up the first world, they're still trying to go through with it. So these ghost children are explaining to a select few regular children, this is what we really need to do to fix it. And as they grow up, it's basically kind of like how in the Hunger Games, they're like, oh, we have to rise up and blah, 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 and beat the bad guys. And that turned out the lady leading the rebellion was just as bad and was going to take over. So they had to fucking kill her, too.
Right.
Something similar to that.
Mm.
So they're trying to rehabilitate the kids to repopulate, but with a secret agenda. And these ghost kids know what that secret agenda is. So this little girl knows what's going on, but she can't just, she's a little girl, she can't rise up. So that's where she has to find the other kids that can communicate with them and create a team.
And that's why the ghosts are going to little kids, because they're hoping that they can keep them through the system the longest. So as they get older, they can continue to tell them. Because all the adults
already know what they want to do with the little kids. Right. They're impressionable.
Ah, that's a good plot twist. That's a good plot twist. All right,
what are we calling this one?
We're going to call this one...
Let's throw out a couple ideas for names. The World Thereafter.
The World Thereafter. That's a good one. I was going to go with Earth Rebirth.
Earth Rebirth, or like Earth 2.0.
Yeah.
Or you could do... what would be... Reemergence.
Reemergence, the times from above ground.
Ooh. Our time above, our time above.
Oh, that's a good one too. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
All right. Well, let us know what you thought about that movie idea. And if you're in the movie business, you want to use it, we copyright this idea. So you got to talk to us and buy it from us.
Yeah, you can buy it for like roughly like, let's say $2 million.
Yeah, we'll do some writing. We'll come up, we'll throw some numbers around. We'll get some people. You can talk to them people and then they'll come up with some ideas. We'll get it all.
You get it. You got it.
You know. All right, we're going to go ahead and jump into our beer review.
I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but pretty good drinking beer.
All right. As always, our beer reviews are brought to you by Barrels Tap House in O'Fallon, Missouri. 109 beers on tap. Amazing food. Amazing people. You can find them at the corner of Highway K and Highway N in O'Fallon, Missouri. They have an amazing party room that we're using next weekend for my girlfriend's birthday, as well as an awesome game room for you to put your kids in while you actually try to enjoy yourself. Awesome. What do you think of this beer?
Well... it's a pretty good beer. It's an Abita beer. It's a beer that
brand Abita that, your bitch.
It's Ray Rice's favorite beer.
Mm.
So Abita is a brand that I like. I believe we've done the Amber, and we've also done the Purple Haze beers from yes. Abita. And this one is the Big Easy. And just like the other two, it's a New Orleans-based beer, and it's made with lemon.
Yes. The back of it actually says the hop flavor's big, but like life in New Orleans, we're taking it easy. Brewed with lemon peels and dry hopped with Cascade, Amarillo, Centennial, and Simcoe for a hoppy aroma of citrus, fruit, and pine. Easy to drink and write for long hot days, steamy nights, parades, or a day on the river with friends.
With it being a 4.5 alcohol by volume beer, it is on the lower side, but I think it's a nice...
especially
tasty.
For a heavier beer like it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's a heavier beer with a lower alcohol percentage, and I think it's a nice zesty beer. Like, I like the sourness in it.
Yeah.
And the bottle itself is very attractive to me, and it's got big colors, saying Big Easy with a riverboat on it, a steamboat.
Very New Orleans feeling. Although the castles in the back remind me of England.
The castles? I don't think those are castles. I think that's supposed to be, on the other side.
Yeah.
I think that's supposed to be modeled after like a building probably in New Orleans.
Maybe. I haven't been, so.
I haven't been either. However, I have had a few New Orleans-based beers, and this one definitely fits the bill. And it's right around the same, you know, taste and flavor that I would expect out of a New Orleans-based beer. And I'm going to go ahead and give it my review, and I'm going to give it a 6.9.
All right. Well, we are on very opposite sides of the spectrum.
Really?
Mine's going to go ahead and be a 5.1.
Yikes. Why so low?
Well, as we've talked about before, kind of 5 to 6 is the typical domestic range of your normal beers.
And for me, it's 5 across the board.
You're a solid 5. I kind of vary because I would take, you know, I think Blue Moon's a little better than just your typical beer. And I'd also take like a Bud Light or a Coors over a Budweiser or a Select or something like that. So they bounce around for me. They're not all just that one set number, but we've obviously done some worse ones like Ripple and some of the pineapple cream ones that taste nothing like fucking pineapple cream.
Nope.
If I had them in here, I would easily take this beer.
Okay.
Now, if it were one of my regular domestics, I'd probably taken those over this.
So you're going to tell me you're going to take Bud Light or Coors over this one?
Yes, absolutely.
Really? So you would rate Bud Light and Coors over a 5.1?
Yeah, I would put Bud Light and Coors for my domestics. I'm putting them right around 5.4, 5.5. They're my dead center of the road for me. I love them. They're my typical go-to beer. Like Budweiser, Busch, those are ones that I'll drink. They're typical domestic, but right. I don't like them as much as Bud Light or that. Now you look at Blue Moon or something like that. That's a domestic that I really fucking like. I'm going to put that at 5.8 to 6. So that's why my domestics kind of bounce around. This one, I'm going 5.1. I'm giving it that one because it's not a bad beer. I'm not putting it on the wrong side of the spectrum, but it's not one that I would personally go for. However, I could see somebody that does like the lemony taste. I'm not a lemon guy either, so that doesn't help their case. Somebody that does like lemons, they like the stronger beers, they may love this. And that's why, for me, personally, throwing out the 5.1.
Hmm. All right. I mean, I respect it. I respect your way of putting it, but I just think that's a lot of jumping around for beers that all taste relatively the same and are made relatively the same. So that's why mine's so strict, like at 5 for all domestics, because they're all pretty much made the same way with maybe a touch.
And when you average the two numbers out, comes right out at a 6. So still.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right.
That's what I'm saying. We throw those out there. You hit the average.
And there you go.
Two-person test groups.
Yeah, because all it takes is two people.
And then that's what it means for the rest of the world.
Yeah, so to everyone, this is around a 6.
Yeah, so be sure and check out the Big Easy IPA.
By Abita Brewing Company.
Buy our shit.
Yep, we have hoodies, shirts, hats.
Abita better buy our shit.
Yeah, Abita better buy our shit.
Or I'm going to beat your ass.
That's right, Abita. Watch out.
And everybody else, it's getting cold outside. Buy some hoodies. Buy some mugs to drink some hot cocoa out of.
Yeah, wear a Yeet hoodie.
Yeah.
Because I'd appreciate that.
Support us because you like us and you want us to make more shit.
Right.
So we need money to do that. So
yeah.
Let's go. And interview next week. Look out for that. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Yeet. I've got the magic in me. Every time I touch that track, it turns into gold. Now everybody knows I've got the magic in me. When I hit the floor, the girls come snapping at me. Now everybody wants some Presto magic. These tricks that I'm attempting blow your mind. Pick a verse, any verse, I'm hypnotizing with every line. I need a volunteer, how about you? With the eyes, come on down to the front and sit right here and don't be shy. So come on, come on, let's see the show tonight. You better be astounded, don't go for poster guys. You know I'm no Pinocchio, I never told a lie. They call me Mr. Magic Man, I'm on a cloud nine. Oh, yes, it turns.